Chapter 24. Sunday, 9:51 a.m. Burroughs found himself humming as he waited in the lobby of the federal building. Someone, hopefully Guardino, was on their way down to escort him. Visitor pass and fellow law enforcement officer or not, the government didn't let just anyone wander alone through their sacred hallways. He snuck a still-warm Krispy Kreme from the box he'd picked up on the way over. Usually after a night with Cindy, he'd be beat. Spend the next day recuperating. Not today. Today he was jazzed, bouncing on his feet. Couldn't wait to get a jump on the Ashley Yeager case. Was it the case or Guardino? He had his answer when the elevator doors slid open and found Walden waiting for him. Well, shit. He slumped against the elevator wall, barely nodding a greeting to the special agent.
"Brought you guys some donuts,"
he said, as if Walden couldn't detect that from the green and white box he carried, or the tantalizing odor emanating from it. Walden merely arched an eyebrow and made a "humph" type of noise.
"Lucy isn't here."
"Did I ask?" Burroughs straightened, not liking the proprietary tone in the other man's voice. He and Walden were the same height, but he had a good 10 pounds and 5 or 6 years on Walden. He could definitely take him. Walden didn't seem to agree. He squared off, staring Burroughs in the eye.
"You didn't have to. That's the point."
"Come on. Don't try to pretend like you never thought of it yourself. Working all day with perverts, being forced to watch all that porn. I'll bet she keeps you up at night." Walden stood, motionless except for the veins bulging at his neck. "I'd highly suggest that you keep your eyes, your hands, and your imagination focused elsewhere." "Hey, I don't need this shit. You all invited me here to help out, remember?"
The door slid open before Walden could reply. The agent stalked away, opening the first of the locked doors, forcing Burroughs to put an extra bounce in his step in order to catch up before it slammed in his face.
"Jeez it, you'd think he was one of the bad guys or something."
Oh well, more donuts for him. Burroughs made himself at home at an empty workspace. Most of the techies looked like they'd spent the night, slept in their clothes if they'd gotten any sleep at all. Taylor, the ADD poster boy, was hyped about something, bouncing back and forth between two workstations. Walden took his seat and began working the phones. Burroughs grabbed his own phone and checked in with the Zone 5 guys to see if there'd been any sign of the elusive Mr. Tardif. No joy. He began following up on calls that had been tagged by the folks manning the hotline. One woman in Murraysville reported seeing a girl wearing a blonde wig and fishnet stockings driving in a white Escalade with a big, fat black man, adding that they were obviously up to no good, and that the girl had given her the finger. Another reported seeing suspicious lights dancing in her backyard. She lived a block away from the Yeagers, so Plum had sent a car over, but found nothing. Those were the most promising of the bunch. He sighed and reached for another donut. Between the sugar, the Viagra he'd been popping all last night, and the exercise Cindy had provided, his blood sugar would be haywire. But hell, you only lived once. As he chewed, he remembered everything he and Cindy had done last night. But somehow, other women's faces kept superimposing themselves on top of Cindy's. Kim. Guardino. Kim.
"Hey, Burroughs!" Taylor called right when Burroughs was getting to the good part of his morning fantasy. "You were with LT when they cleared the Fagley kid, right?"
Burroughs spun around in his chair, pulling it in closer to the desk.
"Yeah, why?"
"I've been thinking."
"Always a dangerous thing,"
one of the H-Tech guys chimed in from the peanut gallery.
Taylor ignored him.
"If Ashley got a new phone a few weeks ago, she probably got a new email as well. You know, something anonymous, like Hotmail."
"Okay."
"So why would she do all that unless someone told her to?"
Burroughs blinked, then nodded.
"Son of a bitch.
Do you have her old emails?"
"The AOL account hasn't been used in over 3 weeks,"
Taylor said eagerly. wheeling his chair over to plop down a stack of printouts in front of Burroughs. Here are her emails from the last 2 months.
It will stand out. He'll only use it the once, Burroughs said, already skimming back through the pages.
And it will probably be from an untraceable source like a cyber cafe, Taylor added, taking half the stack.
But with a name she'd recognize and trust.
Both men were silent for a moment as their pens scratched over the transcripts of emails.
Jeez it, kids talked a lot about nothing, Burroughs thought, going cross-eyed at the lines of inane messages about music and weather and characters from Shadow World.
I got it. Taylor stabbed his pen through the page, impaling it upright.
Who is it?
Draco598, from an internet cafe. He says, call me, and lists a number. Taylor was already reaching past Burroughs to use the computer terminal, his fingers dancing over the keys. He shook his head, clearly unhappy by what he was seeing.
No go. The phone's untraceable. Prepaid cell. Brought with cash.
Draco was the name Fagley used in the online game he played with Ashley.
You sure he's not our guy?
Trust me, this kid isn't capable of swatting a fly. But he trailed off, remembering what Guardino had told him about Shadow World, the online fantasy game Ashley had lost herself in.
It had to be someone else from that game. Someone who knew Ashley had a thing for Fagley.
You mean Draco?
Whatever. Can you check out the names, the real names, like, on this planet, of the Shadow World players?
Already started. Taylor beamed. His exhaustion faded. Burroughs couldn't help but smile at the younger man's enthusiasm. Christ, he didn't think he'd ever been that young or naively optimistic.
Hey, Taylor.
Taylor jerked his head, his eyes not leaving the screen, his fingers never pausing in their rhythmic labor. Burroughs slid the donuts over to him.
You did good, kid.
In her dreams, Ashley had been underwater. It was still dark, but cool. So much better than the stifling stench of her waking here and now. The water had been her friend. She can move any way she wanted, free of pain or fear. Then something hit her body, slapping her awake. Before she could respond or wonder, another object thudded against her, then another, and another. She screamed, flailing her arms, trying to kick the writhing, coiling, spitting creatures away from her. She'd come awake, trapped inside her greatest nightmare. Snakes, raining down from above. No matter how far she moved, they kept on coming, sometimes just one or two, other times a whole group, as if the heavens above had opened up and released the wrath of God. She cried and pled with the unseen puppet master who delighted in torturing her. Stop it! Please, please! Her voice was worn down to a shadow of a whisper. Please, I'll do anything! Her answer was a coiled mass of reptilian flesh hurled at her face. Snakes surrounded her, biting her flailing limbs, whipping their bodies against hers. Any time she moved, another sank its teeth into her flesh. Curled up in a ball, arms wrapped over her face, she no longer dodged the reptilian missiles, merely flinched and shrugged as they pummeled her. An awful thought occurred to her. At first, she banished it. It was too awful to imagine. But she couldn't ignore it. Not as snakes curled around her swollen ankle, crawled up under her pant legs, and shimmied down her neck. Daddy? She dared to peer into the darkness above. Daddy, is that you? I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Please. Daddy. A torrent of a dozen serpents was her only answer. What do you want? She tried one last desperate gamble. I'll do anything. I'll strip naked. I'll suck your cock. She paused, trying to imagine what a pervert would want from her. I'll let you fuck me. I'll do anything. Just make it stop. Thunk, thump, thwack. More snakes hit their target, hissing in anger. She moaned and rolled on the ground, trying to dislodge them, only to land in another coiled mass. The chain jerked, halting her movement. "Please!" Her pleas went unacknowledged. Her invisible god continued to hurl snakes down on her. She couldn't say how long it lasted. Minutes? Hours? Days? Time had lost all meaning. Finally, she curled into a tight ball, no longer flinching while the snakes explored her warm body. She didn't even feel it when they bit her. Didn't care as they slithered beneath her clothes, their cold, dry skin pressing against hers, their tongues tasting her sweat. She drifted away for the longest time, not feeling a thing. Not a thing. She became nothing.